Well, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I think one of the things that the Lord's doing, he's opening our eyes to see not just our inheritance in Christ and luring us into fresh places of surrender so we can have a larger experience of all that's ours, but he's also enlarging our understanding again of just who he is, seeing him bigger. There's a bunch that we're going to skip over, this is a poem, the Song of Solomon is, so I'm going to highlight a few of the verses from this poem about union with Christ in this first chapter, and to help us catch a bigger vision of him. And Moses, Israel understood God's acts. That's kind of the charismatic world. And thank God for God's acts, his acts, right? But Moses understood God's ways. And if you can have that, both of those tracks flowing, where you welcome his acts, but you understand his ways, then you've come far in this safari. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, and this is the Shulamite, the believer who's wanting to break out of the crowd and experience the all that's ours in Christ. And so she just makes this statement, may he kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. It's just a statement of, metaphorically, I just want to know him as intimately. I want to experience union with him as much as possible. And then she explains why, what's happened, why that desire. For your loves, plural, are better than wine. And wine speaks in the Song of Solomon of the pleasures of the world. Your loves, plural, are better than any pleasure this world has to offer. And your oils have a pleasing fragrance. The oils are not just his presence, but his glory, the anointings that he carries, the glory, the presence and characteristics and all that he is, all the stuff that makes him who he is. Your presence and your oils, your anointings. I don't mean by that the gifts of the Spirit, I mean by that, just the anointings of oil that emits from who he is. The anointing of love, the anointing of wisdom, the anointing of all those things that he carries. And then she says, your very name is like oil poured out. That's the Hebrew language. And what then the next statement is, therefore, the hidden ones, the ones who are going after, who are willing to surrender all, no wonder they love you. And all that's happened is that this Shulamite has caught a vision of this one, this glorious one, his glories, these oils, this anointing, his presence and his glory. She says, that was all poured out on my behalf at the cross. And it provokes those who want to experience all, no matter what they may have to lay down to experience it. And then, of course, her very next thing is, take me away with you and let us run. I want to go to that place of union with you. I want to go to that place of experiencing everything that you are, everything that you have. I want to go to that place that you call life. And that word there, again, I came that you might have life, that's Zoe life, that you might experience God's life and all that God has and all that God is and have it to the full. And of course, he always responds to that because that's his dream. It was his dream before it became our dream. And when you catch a glimpse of how much he loves you, then you begin to get curious that there must be more that he wants me to know and experience, someone who would love me this much. He didn't die for me. He didn't pour his life out for me so I could be partially miserable. And every once in a while, I have a good moment, sense his presence occasionally, when I'm in a kind of special meeting. when I'm in a good mood, when my temperament's not controlling me. There's got to be more. So it goes on, and the first thing she discovers is this statement. She says, I'm dark, but I'm lovely. And without getting into too much detail, because we don't have that much time, basically what she discovers is that she's a mess in her outer man. But she says, but I'm lovely in my inner man. That's the first chamber. The first revelation is that I am a mess. But there's more to me than this external mess. There's something clean. There's a redeemed innocence in me. He sees that. That's the new me in Christ. And he loves me even though I am part mess, but mainly pure. Pure, but a mess. And explains how that all happened. She was so busy serving him, she didn't take care of her own heart relationship with him. That's a real sad condition of a lot of Christians. They're so busy going after him, so busy trying to do for him, they don't know how to be in him. And then she asks this question. Now, she's just discovered the degree of a mess that in this journey of experiencing all that he is, going, take me away with you where you live. I want to know the life you live, experience the life you live. And she says, tell me, O you whom my soul loves. So there's love, there's genuine love there. Where do you pasture your flock? Where do you make it lie down at noon? For why should I be like the one who veils herself, lives a pretense life, a life of pretense besides the flocks of your companions? And then he responds, if you yourself do not know, most beautiful among women, go on the trail of the flock and pasture your young goats in the by the tents of the shepherds. Now, again, doing little pauses and or just little snippets here. She's simply saying, having him now responding, drawing her after him, bringing her into the chambers, the place of breakthroughs, into this walk in union with Christ. She begins to ask questions like, okay, dark but lovely, but I want to know what it means to know rest in my soul, even at the heat of the day. I don't want to be like one who, while other people are walking this out and experiencing it, I'm having to live a fake life. Say all the right things, go to the right places, you know, lead this performance kind of relationship with you, sing the songs, but on the inside, I'm still this mess that I don't know what to do with behind the veil. And she asks a question. And his response is so affirmative. His response is, oh, if you don't know, most beautiful among women. Here's what encourages me. What blows my mind about Jesus is that, about our God, is that here's one who's just beginning on the journey. And even though we know in Christ we start off having arrived, there is this arriving to the experience of what we've arrived to. You with me? We can be born rich, but arriving into how to steward all this wealth that's ours in Christ, discovering the inheritance and taking it out for a spin. And so she's asking questions. It's just been revealed, darkness, but how much he loves. And his words to her treats her as if the desire to know, she's not there yet experiencing it, but the desire to know, he counts as real love. The desire to know, he counts as Christlikeness. The desire to know ravishes his heart. Not just the fact that she's arrived, that she wants to arrive there. She wants to know, and he affirms that. He says, you're most beautiful among women. I love it when you ask questions about things you don't know yet. And the fact that there's darkness, you just now see that. I've seen it all along, that it has no impact on how much I love you, how much I believe in who you are, recreated in Christ. We get frustrated with ourselves sometimes because we don't know everything. He doesn't. It blesses him. It blows him away that we're asking, that we're wanting. The wanting he counts as Christlikeness. The wanting and the desire he counts as holiness. How many times in your life Have you blown it again and again in an area, but you desire sincerely not to be in that place? You want to come into real victory that's been won for you, and you don't really know how yet, but you're just asking. And he says, I just love that about you. Instead of hammering us that we haven't gotten it right yet, that we aren't there yet, he just affirms and celebrates that that's in our heart to get there. That's God. We've created a different kind of God, who carries like a ruler in his hand and beats you on the fist on top of your hand every time you don't get it right. He celebrates the fact that you want to get it right. And then he says to her in verse 9, to me, my love, you are like. And again, there's just these words of affirmation. Not to this person who is a Heidi Baker, but to one who just wants to be Christ-like. And they're way down the path of walking it all out, of being as mature, as being as spiritual. And this is what blows me away. All that was for this. Verse 12. While the king was at his table, my perfume gave forth its fragrance. I was studying this word table some more. It's a Hebrew word that literally means surround. And what this really says in Hebrew is, while the king surrounds me, my perfume gives forth its fragrance. Not while my buddy, Jesus, he's king. When she said, take me away, will you let us run? She says, the king brought me into his chambers. As much as she knows and is, she's surrendering what she can, but she's certainly not perfect yet. She's certainly not super mature yet, just discovering. But in that imperfection, in just the desiring longing, she says, while the king surrounds me with his presence, surrounds me with his affection, my perfume, my Christ-likeness begins to give forth its fragrance. That's how we grow. Paul said, thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ, manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place, for we are a fragrance of Christ to God. Wow. And while the king surrounds me, now, if you're surrounded, there's no, like, place of, you're surrounded. Like, there's no out. And what the enemy tries to tell us when we don't get it right, when we're not doing it perfectly, is that there's just separation. That God backs off. He backs away, and there's separation. And we've got to somehow perform and work ourselves back to that place where we live in the realm of glory again. But the truth is, it's while the king surrounds us. If you're in Christ, you're like a fish in the sea. And when the fish is in the sea, the fish is in the sea, and the sea is in the fish. Jesus is in us, and we're surrounded by Jesus and his glory. Have you ever noticed that? That there's this presence within, but you're walking in this realm of glory. That's part of what's happening right now. We're seeing that. We're experiencing that. There's just this glory thing that we're walking in that surrounds us. His presence, his affection surrounds us. We're not being threatened with separation. We're being affirmed. His glory and his affirmation. And it says, while the king is surrounding me, my Christ-likeness comes forth to him. What an odd way to disciple someone. I mean, you should have read one of our books and could have learned something about how to disciple people. You know, I mean, don't make them feel horrible, but keep them guilty enough, threatened with separation enough that they'll finally want to get it right because they're scared to death they're going to miss out. And they know they got to keep up. They got to do a lot. They got to keep going because it's all about earning when it's all about favor. And what God's doing, one of the things God's doing is that he's letting us know, letting us sense that we're surrounded by him. He lives in us and we're surrounded by him. He's not going to back off. There's no separation. It can't be. There's no condemnation in Christ. The way he deals with you is that, if he didn't point out the darkness. He never does. He never speaks of it again. The rest of the book, he points out, oh, you're asking questions. That is so awesome. I'm so thrilled with you. This is so good. Kind of like we talked about last night. 25 years. Abraham had been given the promise. And for 24 years, he tried to make it happen. And when he was almost 100 years old, he finally broke through and believed God could do it. That it was about favor. And the Lord never mentions the 24 years he kept screwing it up. He just celebrated when he got it right. What a weird discipleship program. Surrounded by his affection. Surrounded by his glory. His affirmation. And it changes us. It transforms us. We found ourselves caught in his glory. The oils that are pouring forth are just and suddenly, without almost even trying in that context, Christlikeness begins to come forth. I love that. While the King surrounds me, my perfume gives forth its fragrance. I like being surrounded by Jesus. We're not surrounded by the enemy. We're in Christ. We're surrounded by Jesus. The enemy tries to convince you that you're surrounded by him, so you think there's separation and vulnerability, but you're surrounded by Jesus. That atmosphere is where transformation. Nancy's surrounded by Jesus right now. So we don't have to strike the rock twice, Bob. We can just rest. Lord, thank you so much for just who you are, how you act, how you treat us. These are your ways, oh God. Lord, I thank you that there is nothing we could do about our lostness, our brokenness, and you stepped in out of eternity and did your part and our part, and you reconciled us to yourself. And having done that, oh God, thank you that you didn't just wind us up now and just say, okay, now go do your best for me out of gratitude. Your love is too big for that. Thank you, Lord, that you surround us with your glory, with your affirmation, and then you celebrate when your likeness starts coming forth from us. Wow. You really are our Heavenly Father, our Abba, our Papa. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.